Matt Stapp, is it true that you were the last person cut from the U.S. men's gymnastics team?
You're a journalist, so I think what you're reporting is 100% true.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I am the Step, Matt Stepp.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you, and welcome to your Class 3A preview. I don't know about you. Have you seen the reviews of the 2A and 1A preview?
Rave reviews.
Boffo.
Yes.
Boffo.
Rotten Tomatoes is all over it. It is high ratings.
Certified fresh.
Yeah.
A certified fresh podcast. Mm. Mostly because we talked like six-man football, which the people love. Our producer, Vianne Moreno, has already asked us for like more six-man stuff on
she's
the podcast.
Demanding more six-man
content.
She's got the
six-man bug. We will not be talking six-man today, mm-hmm. though, because there are no six-man football teams in
no, that would be a story if we had six-man teams in 3A. That would be cool.
That would be a story. Oh, we should do that. Anyway, this is your 2024 Class 3A preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, a region-by-region look at Class 3A. 3A Division 2 followed by 3A Division 1. Mm-hmm. We will go to one division where at the top, I'm not sure I'm super enthralled.
Sure. There's one division where it's like we have a very, very clear favorite.
And then one division where let's get weird.
One division that is... Maybe. In fact, I'm going to make a declarative statement right here on Tep and Step.
Hold on, I'm clearing out.
August 1st. ISO right here. Calling for the ball. Clear out. Class 3A Division 1 in 2024 is the most intriguing classification in all the state of Texas, in my opinion.
We will break that down and make him defend that stance coming up here in just a moment. But first, Matthew, we will start.
Stick around to the end of the podcast. You got to listen the whole way through.
First, Matthew, we will start as we always do. With your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. And Matthew, I've got a good one for you because I did some research. Matt Stepp, there are 199 teams in Class 3A this year in the new
199 teams.
And
VNA is going to rattle them all off.
Here she goes. And go. Okay, no, VNA is not mic'd up. That's the only reason she's not doing it, to be clear. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, of those 199 Class 3A teams, how many were not in Class 3A last season?
Okay, that were not in 3A last season.
Out of 199 teams, how many were not, are new to Class 3A for the 2024 season?
I'm just going to take a swing here, and I'm going to go 17.
You're high.
Okay.
There's actually, well, I mean, you are.
No, yeah, but, I'm clearly high.
11.
Okay. 11. I overshot a little bit.
There are seven teams that joined from Class 4A.
Okay.
San Antonio YMLA, which is probably just like a... I want to say they dropped down from 4A D1, maybe?
D2. Yeah.
San Antonio YMLA, Orange Grove, Corpus Christi West Oso, Raymondville, Bishop, Sweetwater, and Texarkana Liberty Isla, all dropping from 4A to 3A.
A lot of five of the seven South Texas, San Antonio and further south.
A lot of South Texas kind of, but the bustling metropolises that moved from Class 2A to Class 3A. Oh,
growth.
You know at least one of them, Toller, played for Tyler.
Correct,
Toller, we'll probably talk about them here in a moment. Mm-hmm. Thrall, Stockdale, and the booming metropolis of Anthony.
That's right.
Anthony moving up from 2A to 3A.
That's right. I think Anthony may have opted up, I think.
Don't ruin this for me.
Sorry.
This is...
But Toller and Thrall, that is...
Toller is a legit...
That's growth. That's legit, like, suburban, like... You think Toller, but Fort Worth is growing. I mean, Granbury, it grew into Granbury, now it's... And then Thrall, you know, that kind of Austin, North Austin growth.
Here's a prediction. This will not be the last time time that we do a podcast in which we talk about Thrall move, or I'm sorry, Toller moving up a classification.
Probably Thrall 2.
Mm-hmm, Thrall 2. Yeah. Anyway, there it is, your Texas High School Fun Fact of the Week. 11 new teams in 11. Class 3A. Okay. All right, Matthew, let's get down to brass tacks here, because we know that you guys are people who value your time, and we want to value your time, respect your time.
Correct.
By not doing some lengthy, overwrought intro about Class 3A. Instead, we want to get right to it and really get into the heart of the matter. That's what we do here on Tep and Step, is we don't get into overwrought intros in which I just yammer on for a while without actually saying
never.
That would be really, I think, antithetical to what we're about. Because you and I, we are people who want to start talking about football immediately.
Yes. Immediately. As soon as I walk in the door, I'm talking football.
We want to talk football, which is why we're going to start talking about football as soon as I finish this sentence, which is still going at the moment, but now we'll conclude right now. We'll talk about Class 3A Division 2. Class 3A Division 2, of course, the champions of Class 3A Division 2 last year, the Gunner Tigers, winners of back-to-back state champions. Mm-hmm. I believe the first time they've ever gone back-to-back. For all the things
Correct.
They've done, that was their first ever back-to-back. It's kind of crazy to think because they've been so good.
Yeah, for the past 7-8 years.
Just haven't been able to string it together. They finally were able to go back-to-back. And all right, it's time to have a conversation, Matthew.
Okay, let's have a serious conversation.
Are you actually... I want to phrase this respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in 3A Division 2?
You're doing a really terrible job of selling this podcast
At the very top. Because I just got to tell you, man, this really does feel like Gunner against the field.
Yeah, I think it's a Gunner versus a field year. We've seen this, you know, there's been years like this in 5A with Aledo, where it's like Aledo versus the field, and 4A, Carthage against the field. We are in the midst of one of those dynasty runs here at Gunter, and I don't think it's ending anytime soon. I think even if they go 3A Division 1 in 2 years, if they, you know, which they possibly will, they're right on that borderline, I think they're going to be an elite team in 3A Division 1. They're just that good. Jake Fizell has got a program in place, and it's an expectation now. You know, it will be a shocker if Gunter is not in a state. I'll say at least state semifinal. I mean, anything. Yeah. They haven't lost before the semifinals. And they've won 7 or 8 regional titles in a row.
I'm about to look.
2016, I think, was the first time they beat when they first run.
The last time that Gunner was not
2015, right?
The last time Gunner did not win their region was 2015. They lost the area round to Wascom.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just an unbelievable run, and they are clearly the favorite in 3A Division 2. They are also the state 7-on-7 champions in Division 3 as well. They could pull off the double.
8 straight regional titles.
Mm-hmm.
Regional titles. I mean, so you're talking about the semifinals. I want you to think about how long it's been since the Dallas Cowboys were in the semifinals.
Well, don't stop.
I'm just saying.
Stop.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that as a way to praise the Gunner Tigers.
Yes.
Not to dump on the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
But two things can be true at once.
Fair.
So they're now
begrudgingly
now,
fair.
We'll get to the. I will say it's strange because Gunner does lose. I think. I know their most important piece, Walker Overman, and I think Walker Overman is going to go down in history as one of the all-time great Gunner Tigers.
And you said it Tuesday. We were talking about it Tuesday. I'm not sure Walker Overman – this is not a knock on Walker Overman. I think he was the perfect fit in that Gunner system. I don't know. You know, he was just perfect. You know, I don't know how many other teams Walker Overman could have played quarterback for in the state of Texas. But in Gunner's system and in that scheme – there was no better fit in the state of Texas than him. I think he was the best fit for Gunner's offense.
Like you could take Keelan Russell from off of Duncanville and put him on Gunner, and the offense would be different. I'm not sure that's a better fit than Walker Overman. You know
scheme.
What I mean?
Yeah, in that scheme. He knew it so well, and he perfected it, and he was just – it was the perfect puzzle piece in that scheme.
He graduates. They're going to turn to Preston Tarpley as their new quarterback. They have really – I mean, he's a guy who's grown up through the system.
Yeah, he's an elite kicker, too.
Yeah, he is.
I actually sat on a plane with Preston Tarpley's parents last year. And Preston Tarpley, they were on a recruiting trip to Rice. he was getting recruited by Rice, and they were on the plane.
That's been today's weird brag here on Tep and Step.
Yes.
So Gunner is the favorite here. We'll get to some other teams. I do think that their biggest challenges would come in a potential state championship game. We'll talk about that when we get to particularly Region 3, quite honestly. But let's start with Region 1. Region 1 has long been dominated by Canadian. And you're probably thinking, well Tepper and Step, Stepper and Tep, what would you say is the problem here? If you're saying that Gunner's some runaway favorite in 3 Division 2, what about Canadian? I look at this Canadian team and think,
they're good.
They're good.
They're good.
I think
they're probably the favorite in Region 1.
I think they're the favorite in Region 1.
But I don't view this as a vintage Canadian team. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to – and I, honestly, the last couple of years, I would say the gap between Gunner and Canadian – has widened just a bit. I think Gunner has separated themselves even from Canadian. Whereas before, 2 years ago, I think it was – well, even 2 years ago, Canadian gave Gunner all – Gunner needed a last-second touchdown to beat him. But last year, it just felt like Gunner was
– it was a mismatch.
Yeah, Gunner was just clearly better.
They were.
Yeah. And I think that gap has widened, and I think I just feel like Gunner's just – far and away above the field right now. And it was, we watched that Gunner Canadian game last year, and after the first quarter, it was like, there's no way Canadian's winning this
Canadian's
game.
Not, Canadian can't hang. Now, I will say, I think you're right, that Canadian probably still deserves to be the number one team in Region 1.
Mm-hmm. And they've
won that region, I want to say, 7 of the last 8 years?
Yeah, well, first 2 years, they were in 2A,
yeah.
Remember? But yeah, so in 3A Division 2, they've won it 5 of the last 6 years.
But we don't know the quarterback situation. Kaysen Cavalier has graduated.
He's
off to Harding. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more of a defensive-based team. Their defense looks like it's going to take a nice step forward.
And Andy Cavalier is a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah, taking over for Chris Ketting. I think Wall is in this mix as well. I am intrigued by Wall. But of course, and they were in it for about a half with Canadian in the regional final. They're going to be athletic, but they are also going through a coaching change.
Yeah. Wall's got two big questions. Mm-hmm. The first is the coaching change. And what offense do they run? Mm-hmm. Because Craig Slaughter, in his previous stops, has been more of a spread guy. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a defensive coordinator, so does he keep the flex bone at Wall, or do they try to transition from the flex bone to the spread, which is a big change? Also, there are some rumors, I have not confirmed this, that Wall's returning quarterback, who is a really good operator of that offense, may have decided to play straight baseball, which would be a huge loss for the Hawks. So those are a couple of things I'm keeping an eye on when it comes to Wall. But I do think that when you look at Region 1, I think the chief challenger, even if Wall doesn't have their quarterback, is still Wall. It's a Canadian.
Yeah, I think Idaloo's in that mix too. That was a team that flurried late. Remember, they went in the playoffs at like 6-4 and then ended up in the third round. They're a team that I think that flurried late. They bring back 11 starters from last year's ball club. Childress might be like a sleeper-ish type. It's hard for a program to want as much Childress to sleep on them.
They've kind of been overshadowed by Canadian there in that Panhandle district. They usually, more often than not, will give Canadian a push. I'll tell you a team I'm bullish on in Region 1 that I'm interested in is Muleshoe. Mm-hmm. They're 9-3, dropping down from Division 1. Ton of team speed. They were state champs in the 4x4 relay, I believe. They got a ton of guys back. They're dropping from Division 1 to Division 2. We saw him down in College Station at State 7-on-7, got a bunch of good-looking kids. I'm interested in Muleshoe. I think they might make a case to be the second-best team in the region. The problem is if they win District 2, they're probably going to run into Canadian in the third round. But I think – and they actually play Canadian in non-district. So we're going to get a good test early on in the season to see how Muleshoe, dropping down from Division 1 to Division 2, stacks up against the best in Region 1.
Now, I have a question. Is District 3 – 3A Division 2 doing the double round robin again? Do we know?
Yes.
Crane, Alpine, Odessa Compass.
I believe they are. Let's
Anthony.
Live coverage of me double checking that right now.
It would make sense. It was an inspired.
The El Paso 4 team district is
doing the double round robin.
Yes, they are doing the double round robin. Okay. They are.
That makes sense because it's so remote and you know anything else you're going to end up having to find 7 non-district games.
You know who Alpine is opening the season with? Wellington. That's a long... They're playing in Abilene.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a weird game.
Yeah. You know, okay. Still waiting for Coach Smith to schedule that Thursday game in Alpine.
Still waiting, Coach Smith.
Come on.
Region 2. This is where Gunner lives. This is going to be a relatively short segment. Mm-hmm. It would be an absolute, as we mentioned, it would be a pretty big stunner if Gunner didn't win their region.
Yes.
Let's imagine a world in which Gunner doesn't win their region.
Okay.
At that point, I'd probably look at the team that, quite frankly, played Gunner the best all season, at the 3A level, that is. Mm-hmm. That's Jacksboro.
Correct.
And Jacksboro, now they returned their leading rusher. They were an offensive juggernaut last year.
They've got Cannon Valenzuela, mm-hmm. who broke out at State 7-on-7 with his performance.
He's a DCTF darling. He's threatening to be on the Teppan step.
I was going
to
say, is he a top 10 Teppan stepper?
I don't know if I want to commit to that.
Okay, all right. He's on the watch list.
He's on the Teppan stepper watch list.
Okay. Cannon Valenzuela.
Yeah, Cannon Valenzuela. He rocks. They're going to be probably the chief challenger.
He's definitely a dude's rock kind of player.
There's always the team. Like, Holiday is always the team that we point to as like, oh, if mm-hmm. anybody's ever going to get Gunner, it's going to be Holiday.
Yeah.
Like, they are...
Second year under Kyle Atwood. Mm-hmm. Should be better in the spread offense. They were kind of transitioning from their more... pro style power offense to a spread under Kyle Atwood last year, made a nice run to the third round. I think this should be a lot better in year two.
The mystery box team here probably is a team that played in the state championship game last year, and mm-hmm. that's Toller. Mm-hmm. Toller moving up from 2A Division 1 to 3A Division 2. And the numbers would support a good year. They've got 13 starters back from a state championship team. Still have Peyton Brown. He rocks.
Another dude's rock player.
But that's a steep climb from 281 to 382.
They lose the Blessing kid at quarterback. Mm-hmm. They did have some key losses, so that's going to be tough for mm-hmm. them to make that move. But they are, I think they have a chance in their district. I think I would classify them as the favorite in their district. So I think there is
probably
a chance.
Over Eastland. Yeah.
I think there's a chance for them to kind of establish themselves at the 3A level and make a little noise.
Last year, one of the big surprises last year was Scurry Rosser, an 11-1 team last year. Hit pretty hard by graduation, but, you know, keep an eye on them. Mm-hmm. I'll just say keep an eye on them as in District 8, probably the favorite there in District 8, but that is already a lot of conversation about a region that feels like a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. Let's get to a region that probably doesn't feel like a foregone conclusion. That's Region 3 of 3A Division 2, where I think you have... At least a two-team dogfight, and maybe even like a three-team, maybe four-team dogfight.
There's a few teams in here that could make a conversation. Mm-hmm. There's another nice little layer below mm-hmm. that of really good teams that on the right day could pop up and bite somebody.
So the top two teams here in some order are Dangerfield and Newton.
Correct.
And both are going to be loaded. Dangerfield brings back their quarterback, their running back, their receiver. They're absolutely loaded. They're going to be a little youngish to start the year on defense, but they're going to be in the mix. Newton, this is going to stun you guys, but Coach Johnston has a really fast team.
Yeah.
At Newton.
Dangerfield and Newton, if they play, will be very, 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 a lot of speed on the field in that game.
I will say this. The teams that have given Gunner trouble. I know this feels like a Gunner podcast. It is because they are the favorite in 3A Division 2. The teams that have given Gunner trouble are teams that are just really athletic. Franklin, when they lost in the title game,
Newton.
Really athletic. Newton, when they lost in the title game. The best, the Canadian teams that have gotten them have been...
The real high-powered Canadian teams.
Have been
real high-powered teams.
Very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerfield and Newton, in my mind, represent a bigger threat to Gunner than a team from Region 4, which tends to be a little more plodding, a little mm-hmm. bit more physical.
I would agree with that. I think Region 3, if they can get past Region 4, would give potentially Gunner in a state championship game the best matchup.
But you're right that you've got Dangerfield and Newton at the top, and then I think you're right. You've got a layer of about six teams in that next layer. Mm-hmm. Of Region 3.
That are really fun.
Really fun, and you're right. On the if you catch them on the wrong day, like they'll up and get you. I'll open the floor. Which of that next kind of crop really interests you? I can go first if you want.
I've got two.
Okay.
So I'll go with the one that I don't think you're going to pick. I think I know who you're going to pick. I'm interested in Woodville,
mm-hmm.
dropping down from Division One. Always super talented. They've played Newton tough and non-district in the past and beaten them on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Woodville is a team that I'm interested in. I think they have a chance to make some noise in Division II. That's my kind of next layer team that I'm watching.
There's like two for me.
Oh, you're going to pick two? What the hell?
I like New Diana.
Yeah, that was I thought you'd pick New Diana.
New Diana, 17 starters back from last year's team. They have to replace three starters on the offensive line. That is the one big red flag. Mm. But past that, that was a team that I thought played well down the stretch and showed flashes. They had a bad matchup basically with Dangerfield in the second round. But I like them. The other team, I could buy in on DeKalb.
Yeah.
I am really interested in what the Bears have going. I think that is a team that the program on the rise, and even last year at 7-3, a disappointing kind of by district loss, upset loss to ARP in that first round.
And ARP is a team. ARP brings a lot back. I think ARP is a team that I'm watching. Hooks had a great year last year. They disappointment in the playoffs against Dangerfield. Didn't they played probably their worst game of the year and got run out of the building. I was at that game.
Mm-hmm.
They got run out of the building. But I think Hooks on the right day is good enough to make some noise as well. So there's a nice undercurrent of teams. When we get to the area around the playoffs, we're going to have some really good games in this region. I still feel like, you know, it's Dangerfield and Newton on a collision course, but
it's a fun region.
You can see paths for other teams to pull upsets.
Region 4 has produced a state finalist in the last two seasons.
Correct.
Poth and then Tidehaven. Both of them probably figure to be in the mix. Both of them start the year in the top 10, by the way. Poth is a team that, from a numbers perspective, you'd probably go with. The offensive line, defensive line are going to be very good. They've got the pedigree. They know how to get to a state championship game. Tidehaven does bring back. They bring back 14 starters from last year's team.
And they bring a lot back. And we saw, again, back to 7-on-7. They were the runner-up to Gunner.
Now, but
they made a lot of noise. They look good. They have a quarterback who's entering his third year as a starter as a junior. A lot of experience.
They did, however, lose capital H him.
Correct.
In Joseph Dodds. Mm-hmm. Joseph Dodds is off to Baylor because Dave Aranda has a real thing for 3A running backs.
Hey.
He's got a Dawson Pendergrass.
Yeah, he does.
One of the Franklin kids is there. I think it's Jaden Jackson is there. He's got a thing for 3A
he's
running backs.
He's got a type.
He's got a type. But if it's not going to be a team from one of the last couple regional champs, maybe this is the year for Lexington, right? They bring back every starter on offense. They bring back 19 starters overall. They're loaded.
And Lexington has had some playoff disappointment. They pulled a 10-1 on us. They've had some upset playoff losses. They got to the third round last year. This group, all those starters back, they played past Thanksgiving last year. They've got that playoff experience. I think they're the team that is really going to be a chief challenger to Tidehaven in this region.
The two teams that I think interest me the most would be Blanco and Vanderbilt Industrial. Two teams that are dropping down from 3A Division 1 to 3A Division 2. Now, the numbers aren't promising. I think it's 7 starters back for Vanderbilt Industrial, like 9 for Blanco.
Yeah, Blanco got hit pretty hard considering – but, I mean, they were a regional finalist in 3A Division 1, so you have to account for them.
So they'll be in the mix, but there's a lot of question marks. I think the surer things are Poth, Lexington, and Tidehaven in some sort of order, which, again, you know, Poth has a few more holes to fill, but I think that their upside might be a little bit higher.
This is my hipster region. Oh. I've got several hipster teams that you should keep an eye on. San Antonio YMLA is one of them, dropping all the way from 4A D2 to 3A D2.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a ton of team speed, which is a premium in Region 4. Rice Consolidated.
That is hipstery. Okay.
Did you see what they did in College Station? They were loaded. Had a great run in College Station. The problem is they're in a brutal district.
They are.
14-3A Division 2 is the deepest district in the region and maybe the state.
Tidehaven, East Bernard, Vanderbilt Industrial.
Bowling brings a ton back. Van Vleck brings a ton back. Like, that's a really – I mean, Wallace – I picked Wallace Brazos 7th. Mm-hmm. They were 6-4 last year. Like, that's a crazy deep district.
Mm-hmm.
And then always you got to keep an eye on Rogers and the slot T. Slot T is the devil.
Absolutely.
Always keep an eye on them. So there's several teams in this region outside of those kind of three big dogs that are kind of hipster kind of teams to keep an eye on.
So let's now talk about your regional picks and your state championship pick for 3A Division 2.
In Region 1, I'm going to go Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian over Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Region 2, I'm going to go Gunter over Holiday.
OK. Okay.
Region 3, I'm going to go Dangerfield over Newton. And in Region 4, I am going with who did I pick in Region? Now I got to pull up my article. I'm going.
You're listening to live coverage.
I'm going Lexington over Blanco.
Lexington over Blanco. Okay. Yes. Very good. Region 1, I'm going to go with Canadian. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Wall does feel like a team that can get there, but there's so many moving parts there that I can't buy. And Canadian feels like the sure thing. Region 2, of course, I'm going to go with Early. Region 3, I like Dangerfield by a smidgen,
okay.
A scotch, so to speak. And then Region 4, I'm going to roll. I think this is the year for Lexington. Okay. I think this is the year for
Lexington. We got the same regional picks.
We do. And I like.
Oh, I didn't pick a state champion.
Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I'll go Gunner over Dangerfield.
I'm going to go Gunner over Dangerfield as well. Although, again, I do think that a team like Dangerfield is the kind of team that has traditionally given Gunner the most.
I think it'll
trouble.
Be a very competitive game.
Yes, as opposed to some of the past Gunner title games. Anyway, there is 3A Division 2. On to 3A Division 1, Matthew. And now for something completely different.
A lot more intrigue here.
A lot more intrigue. And I do think. And correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the intrigue here surrounds a team that's not here. Basically, Brock has had a reign of terror in 3A Division 1 of, like, even if they don't make a title game, they're in a semifinal or they're challenging for a title game.
Since they started varsity football in 2014, there's only been 1 year they didn't make at least the regional final.
Right.
And it was 2020 and they lost to Jim Ned in the third round.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But now they are off to 4A, which opens up 3A Division 1. Now, to be clear, Brock was not in a state championship game last year. That's notable here. But that specter loomed so large that they dominated a lot of the conversation.
Even if Brock didn't make it there, you probably had to go through Brock to win a state champion. I mean, basically, Brock's losing to the eventual state champion. At some point, either in the state championship game when they lost to Lorena, when they lost to Franklin, last year lost to Malakoff in the semifinals. Like, Brock is always there. You got to go through Brock.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now, 3A Division 1, I think, opens up. And what's fascinating here is that as they leave, you get, in my opinion, the most intriguing upper crust of 3A Division 1 teams that we've had in a decade.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of fun teams.
There are this top 10, top 12, 13 that we've got in the magazine, all of them. I'm not saying there's not a couple that are a little bit above the rest. We'll get to that. But all of them are super intriguing and really interesting. That's what makes 3A Division 1 so much fun this year.
Agree. There's a lot of really good storylines in 3A Division 1 that just, from a journalist standpoint and a high school football fan standpoint, are going to make this classification a lot of fun to watch.
And there's also, I will also say, and we'll talk about this when we get there, I think there's pretty decent regional balance here, actually. That there's one region that I think is the meat grinder. We'll get to that. But
There's no cakewalk to the semis.
Let me put it to you this way. We did the 2A Division 1 preview a year ago, right?
Yeah.
It seems like
so
a million years
ago. So long ago.
When we were talking about 2A Division 1 Region 2, right? We were like, well, Toller's gone, so it's like Axtell, Tioga, Frankston, right? It was like, okay, who here is going to grab the brass ring? Here, this is a... There's not that region. There's not that region where it's like, oh, like, there's not... There's two or three interesting teams in every region,
agreed.
And you don't always have that.
No.
Which I think makes 3A Division 1 a lot of fun.
Agree.
All right. So let's roll into Region 1. 3A Division 1, Region 1. And it is a fast... This is where Brock cleared out of.
Correct. Yeah, Brock's gone, so now it's like everybody's like scrambling for the top now.
And so what's interesting, it opens the door for a number of teams, including a team like Bushland.
Who's Brock has personally victimized several times.
There's no team happier to see Brock leave than Bushland. Paradise, again, a team that...
Been victimized by Brock.
By Brock.
Paradise is they got some graduation holes to fill.
They do.
They took some hits.
They've got to be you know, figuring things out. Shallow Waters in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ned, who of course won a title in 2020,
beating Brock in the third round. Yeah,
and then last year goes gets a first round upset at the hands of Whitesboro.
Yeah, Jim Ned kind of had the quarterback got hurt. I think mm-hmm. that's what hurt them. But yeah, I think.
And then you have Matthew. I would contend to you the most intriguing 4A drop down in the state in Sweetwater.
Agree.
Sweetwater dropping down to 4A bring 18 starters with them from a playoff team.
So a couple of years ago, when Russell Lucas left Hamlin to go to Sweetwater,
mm-hmm.
he. You know, kind of talked to him, and I said, "Hey, you know, why are you leaving Hamlin now? What was attractive about Sweetwater?"
Hamlin was cooking.
They were. Took him to a state championship game. He told me, you know, he thought Sweetwater was going to be in a little bit for a rebuild first year, and they were. They mm-hmm. struggled, but he said in 2 years, he goes, "We're probably dropping to 3A, and we've got some really good classes coming." And
this might be the beginning of that.
This is, I think, Sweetwater last year went to the area round of the playoffs in 4A. They bring a ton back. They're dropping down. I think it lines up for a big year for the boys from Nolan County.
Bushland is the experienced team here with 11 starters back, at least the experience from 3A last year.
Mm. And they have a playoff experience. They've been 3-4 rounds deep consistently.
Paradise was the team that went to the regional final last year. And played Brock
Brock tough in both
games. But couldn't get over the hump. But you're right. They have a lot of holes to fill. And then it's Shallow Water, Jim Ned, maybe a team like Clyde in this region.
I like Vernon a little. I think Vernon has a chance to do some things. I think Vernon they're a traditional power who's fallen on hard times. I think Vernon could be a team to keep an eye on as well. But I think this is really a three-horse race mm-hmm. at the top between Bushland, Jim Ned, and Sweetwater.
I'm really surprised you're not shouting out Comanche for your own personal gain.
Look, I love Coach Escobar, and if Coach Escobar's mother wants to cook me enchiladas and homemade flour tortillas, I will absolutely – in fact, Coach Escobar, I'll say this right now. I'll go to another Comanche game if it means getting free, you know, enchiladas and flour tortillas. I mean, I'm just saying. But they're moving up from Division One to Division One. It's going to be a tough year. I think Comanche's a playoff team mm-hmm. in that district. I think they're going to be in the postseason. But the road's a lot tougher for them. But love you, Coach Escobar.
Region 2, which has – let me see if I can count this. Of the top 19 teams, they've got 7 of them of the top 19 teams, including the number one team in the state, whose name we have not even mentioned yet, the number one team in the state, the reigning, defending, and disputing mm-hmm. 3A Division One state champs, the guys with the belt – the Malakoff Tigers.
Yeah, they've got the belt. You got to come take it from them. The boys from Henderson County.
And they bring back – look, they bring back they 14 bring, starters.
They're and they bring back several key guys.
They bring back I believe Doc Renberg is back. Remember?
No, I think Doc's gone.
Did he graduate?
That's, yeah, Doc Renberg's
right.
gone. But they
he's
bring
gone
back,
and Chauncey Hogg is gone.
This is Hogg? No, Hogg's back, right?
Not according to Coach.
Okay, never mind.
But they bring back Parker Poteet, their outstanding linebacker. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line's going to be really good. They got a big tight end in Evan Loper. They feel good about Jerrion Hall, who is...
Jerrion Hall is the running back.
Such a breakout star for them. He was the guy who really stepped in when their running back, Jason Tennyson, got hurt, and he kind of took the load.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a lot of fun. They also bring back the quarterback, Matthew.
Who?
They bring back the quarterback. His name is Mike Jones.
Oh, okay. 281-330-8004.
That remains. That remains my crowning achievement in broadcasting.
Did you shoehorn that in?
Of course, dude.
Good job,
dude. So Bally Sport. I did. If you didn't know, I did the Malakoff and.
What a brag!
I was color commentary for Malakoff and Franklin, myself, and the great Ted Emmerich.
That was a fun game.
And it was a fun game. It was like the first like great game I actually got to do, and. They asked me, they're like, hey, before we want to do a slate, we want to do a graphic, and so like Tepper's keys to the game. And I'm like, so my second key to the game for Malakoff was dial 281-330-8004.
Perfect. Beautiful. Well done. Well done, sir.
I'm so pleased with myself.
Did you get some question marks from people? Like, what?
I got a bunch of texts at that moment, and they're like, yes.
Good job.
Anyway, Mike Jones is back.
Yes.
And by the way, like, it's a bit, and it's fun to talk about it.
He's a great player.
Also, really good and huge,
yeah, he's
man.
He's a dude. Underrated thing about Malakoff, you mentioned it, Jason Tennyson. Mm-hmm. Jason Tennyson was supposed to be the running back last year.
Mm-hmm.
Tore his ACL like 15 minutes into the first practice of the year last mm-hmm. year. and was out for the rest of the year. He's back. So now you've got Jerrion Hall and Jason Tennyson in the backfield to go with Mike Jones. You can also take Jerrion Hall, who was supposed to be a key defensive player who couldn't play defense much last year because he had to carry the load on offense. Now, guess what? Now he gets to spend some time on defense because he's going to be able to split the carries with Jason Tennyson. I think Malakoff may end up being a better football team this year than they were last year, which is kind of scary.
That is scary. And they also, by the way, have, but they'll have to go through a difficult region.
Region 2 is tough. It always is.
Grandview, a team that they are very familiar with.
Correct.
Grandview.
Grandview's best player, returning player, transferred to Crowley in the offseason, though.
It's tough.
Yeah, so that's a big loss for Grandview.
Winsboro, I think, is going to be in that mix, and they're the chief district challenger to Malakoff. Yes. I think the team that's probably going to get lost in this.
They were the team that played Malakoff in the regional final last year, and Malakoff handled them. But I'll tell you what, Winsboro's got a guy, Camden Capehart, who can fly.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Pottsboro. I'm in on Pottsboro, too. 9-3 last year. They bring back 10 starters from last year's ball club. That's a team that I'm high on.
Poe does a great job there. They're always a good team. They're always in the mix.
And then I'm gonna ride or die with Jefferson. They have 15 starters back. I'm really into it.
You want to hear another
team?
Stop it. You want to hear another team?
Don't you dare. Do not. You are
folks.
No.
Folks.
No.
I need you to keep an eye on the Atlanta Rabbits.
This podcast is canceled.
ATL, stand up. Telling you, Atlanta is going to be – get your journalist. Give us the facts on Atlanta. What are the facts on the Rabbits?
The facts on the Rabbits is that there has been no team that we have hyped up more on this podcast that has consistently made us look like chumps.
I'm ready. I think Atlanta.
You're ready to get hurt again.
They had a good year. They had a good year last year. They were 8-3 2 years ago. What were they last
year? They're 5-6.
Yeah, but what do they bring back?
Bring back 10 starters on offense and 8 starters on defense.
Thank you. 18 starters.
I cannot in good conscience. I've been burned too many times.
You're scarred.
I'm scarred.
Yeah, I get it.
There were years. Go back and listen over the history of this podcast. The number of times that we've come on this podcast and like
bought in on
bang
Atlanta.
The drum on Atlanta.
I think 8-3A Division I is really good.
There's
8-3A Division I for a depth standpoint. There's five excellent, actually six. Sabine's not a bad team. Sabine would be a playoff team in most other districts, and they're picked sixth. Gladewater brings a ton back. Tatum, perennial power. Liberty Ilo dropping down from 4A. Dangerous team.
That might be the team that I'm hopping on. I'm throwing my way.
Then you got Atlanta, and you got Jefferson. You know, I think this is a really, really good district. I think Commerce is a team to keep an eye on. I think Commerce is going to be pretty good. And another deep sleeper, if you want like a really hipstery kind of team to kind of throw your weight behind, look out for Mahia. I think Mahia is going to be another team that's really kind of hipstery. They've snuck into the playoffs. They bring a ton back. That's another team to watch out for. Good. Region 2 is fun.
Very fun.
I like what we got in Region 2.
It's going to be a good region.
Sorry, Atlanta.
Flipping over to the other side of bracket to Region 3 and the Fireworks Factory. We're here.
Yeah.
This is the Fireworks Factory. Three of the top four teams live here. You've got Malakoff 1, right, over from Region 2. Then you have number 2 Columbus, number 3 Franklin, number 4 Hitchcock.
And Columbus and Hitchcock are in the same district.
So let's talk about Columbus. They were absolutely loaded coming into 2024. Quarterback Adam Schoble, who's now committed to TCU.
Correct.
I think he just flipped his commitment to TCU.
He did, just this week.
John Schoble, the outstanding linebacker.
Who's also committed to TCU.
They were two of 15 starters they have coming back from a team that went 12-1 and came up just short to or lost to Lorena last year.
Lorena kind of beat him pretty good. Lorena jumped on him early and kind of blew their doors off a little bit.
Yeah, but Lorena moving up to 4A Division 2. They're gone.
And Columbus brings a ton back.
They bring back a ton. And it's now time to open the Grayson-Rigdon dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So Grayson Rigdon, we talked about this on the 2A preview, or 2A 1A preview. Grayson Rigdon, the three-time six-man player of the year in 1A Division 2, is moving from Benjamin to Columbus. He's going to play for Columbus.
Correct.
Air Force commit,
by the way.
Grayson Rigdon, again, can lay claim to being one of the greatest six-man football players of all time.
Yes. Even only playing 3 years, I think his resume stacks up with most of the six-man.
Absolutely. Now he joins not just an 11-man team, but a state contending 11-man team in a very difficult and talent-laden district and region.
Absolutely.
So I'll put you on the spot, Matt Stepp.
Okay.
What are your expectations for Grayson Rigdon at Columbus? You've seen him.
Correct. He's a good player. And I think he's going to play in the slot. Now, Columbus needs a running back. Mm-hmm. I think Grayson Rigdon could play running back if he wanted to, because Tyvon Whitehead graduated. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to play in the slot. I think he's going to be a valued contributor to the team. But Columbus has a lot of weapons. Like, Schoble's going to spread the ball around. They've got a receiver who started for him as a freshman who had a huge year last year and is a Division I prospect in his own right at wide. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but if you follow Columbus football, you know they had a freshman wide receiver who had a great year last year. He's going to be a sophomore this year, and he's a potential Division I prospect. So they're going to spread the ball around. Schoble is not going to just lean on Rigdon. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Coach Schoble is going to be creative with Rigdon and get the ball in his hands. You're looking up the receiver.
Braylon Fisher.
He was a freshman last year. Stud. Had a great year. Yeah. I think you're going to see them give the ball to Rigdon on the jet sweep. I think they're going to throw screens to him. I think they're going to find ways to give him the football. I think he's going to be definitely help the team. I just don't know. I don't foresee him being a star in that system at Columbus. I think he will help them, though.
I also think, to that point, because I think I agree with you, it's also important to mention that, like, there's that part of that is that they don't need him to be a star.
No.
They need him to
be... Their star is a quarterback.
Right. They need him to be kind of... I don't want to say a spoke in the wheel, but just like a part of the machine,
yeah.
You know, and be that guy to fit into this offense.
Yeah, you pay too much attention to Braylon Fisher, Grayson Rigdon's probably going to hurt you in the slot. If you pay too much attention to Rigdon, Fisher's going to hurt you.
He doesn't have to have like it's an NBA term, but like the usage rate. The usage rate he had at Benjamin is like 96%.
Correct.
Here, it's going to be a normal slot receiver.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the ball thrown to him probably 7-8 times a game. He's probably going to carry the ball 3-4 times a game.
Yeah, you know, exactly right.
They may throw him out there and kick return.
It will be one of these stories to watch in all of Texas high school football.
Oh yeah, it's like you said. I mean, the 6-man community is going to be watching, because if he goes to Columbus and is a star, it really legitimizes, I think, the 6-man game to a lot of people and kind of validates what 6-man people have been saying all the time. If he goes to Columbus and struggles, then people can say, oh, well, you know, look, he's a 6-man player. I don't think he's going to struggle. I don't think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be an all district type player.
Yeah.
There at Columbus.
I think you're probably right. That's my lean right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see. On the other teams, though, in Region 3,
we talked about the
including
defending
the
champion
that won the region last year, and the team that was going for a three-peat last year and came within a score of it.
Yeah, they played four straight state championship games.
The Franklin Lions. They played in four straight title games. They bring back 11 starters overall from last year's ball club. Now, they're going to graduate some important pieces.
They do.
This is, if you want to see the proof of concept of this program to be able to turn over, here it comes. Right now, they still got Jaden Jackson, right?
But who is a monster.
He is a monster, okay? And he is now all of 6 foot 220. He is a beast.
Yeah.
But they lose guys like Braden Smith, their big tight end. They lose Devin Hidrago, their outstanding
Division I player. Yeah. Hidrago signed with TCU, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Braden Smith was unbelievable as a blocker in that offense. He really made a difference when he was healthy.
This is, to me, where we will find out about not just Franklin. 2024 will be the year we find out about Franklin in 25, 26, and moving forward of, like, are they able to turn the page and turn the roster over? Because now they've basically turned the roster over entirely from their first title game.
Correct.
In 2020 when they got when they got their heart ripped out by Canadian on the last play. Not the last play, but you know what I mean. This is a real interesting gut check from Mark Fannin's ball club to see where they stack up now as far as longevity is concerned. The other team here is Hitchcock. Now, Hitchcock, quite frankly, last year was supposed to be the year. Now, they got really banged up.
They did.
They got banged up. And also, their defense.
The trench play for Hitchcock was lacking.
Trench play was not good.
We said it all year. We said, and they got exposed against Columbus. Tyvon Whitehead ran for like 350 yards in that game. Mm-hmm. Then against Little River Academy, they couldn't stop the run, and they got exposed.
And they lose in the first round of the playoffs.
They lost some good seniors. They still have a bunch of guys back. Lloyd Jones. They still have Kelshawn Johnson. They still have a lot of guys. But the question with Hitchcock is going to be when they play a team who can contain them speed-wise, mm-hmm. How do they hold up front? That's the question.
When they play a team that can run with them. Because they're going to be faster than almost every team in 3A.
Yes.
But not every team. There are going to be teams that can run with them.
Yes.
And including Franklin can run with them. Mm-hmm. I think Columbus can run with them. And Little River Academy ran with them enough last time. I mean, they got into a bit of a shootout, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think Yoakum can run with them. Mm-hmm. I think a team like Palestine Westwood, who that's my like darling of the region. If you want to talk about a team that's not getting enough talk that probably should, it's Palestine Westwood. Mm-hmm. They bring a ton back from an area round playoff team. They have a big-time quarterback in KVN Bryant, who's a Division I prospect in football and basketball. And they got a transfer running back in, John Denman, who's committed to TCU, who now Bryant has a run-in buddy in the backfield. Palestine Westwood is going to be really, really dynamic this year. I'm really interested to see. And, you know, you look at it, they got a path to the regional final because Columbus and Franklin are going to knock each other off potentially in the third round. So really, Westwood, you look at it on that top side of the bracket, maybe you got to go through Hitchcock. I think Palestine Westwood and Hitchcock could be a fun game. You talk about big time talent in a 3A game. I think there's a path there for Richard Bishop's ball club to play for a regional title.
I'll tell you the ball club that really interests me here, and it's actually one of only two teams that are new to the region.
Okay.
And I'm going to win friends in this town when I say this.
All right.
TIG. Not Teague.
TIG.
It's TIG. Mm-hmm. I like this team. I like this Lions team. A third year under Coach Zach Lipscomb.
They were a hipster pick for me last year. Went to the area round of the playoffs. Had a good year.
Corey Seiler is back. Kind of their do-it-all like linebacker, H-back type star. Jaden Cole, Zach Elijah, their quarterback. They're going to be in the mix, I think, there. Moving over, but more importantly, they move from Region 2 to Region 3. How well do they adapt to what is a very different regional landscape?
Yes. The district's pretty much the same, but the region is different. Mm-hmm. I like Anahuac.
Yep.
They get Brady Barrier, transfers back to Anahuac from Rusk. They had the quarterback that they were missing last year. They bring a lot of pieces back around them. I think Anahuac is another team that I think is going to be in for a good year. But Region 3 is just a really, really – I mean, we talked about Little River Academy. Yeah. They're there. I think Troy is going to be a lot better this year. I think Dieball is always in the mix as their physical team. I think Yoakum and Hallettsville, especially Yoakum. Yoakum is as athletic as anyone in this region. There's a lot of good – there's going to be some good teams going home in the first round of the playoffs in 3A Division 1, Region 3.
Region 3 is – a ton of fun and a ton of speed. Region 4. Not as fast.
No.
This is the physical region.
This is the punchy in the face.
This is the punchy in the face region.
Yeah.
And there's probably no team in 3AD1 that's better at punching you in the face than Edna. Like, Edna's really good at punching you in the face.
They are generally very good at that.
Very good. They bring back 15 starters from last year's team, a team that won the region last year. They're going to be deep. They're going to be dangerous. They are now. They have now won. Like, underrated about them. Let me do some quick math here. They have won 34 games in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been really consistently excellent.
Got 2 key questions about Edna. They lost a quarterback and the running back.
Mm-hmm.
They lose Jaden Clay, a 4-year starter at quarterback. That's a big loss. And then Caden Rojas, Rodas, the running back, graduated as well. So those are 2 big holes that Edna has to fill. And one of the teams that beat Edna last year resides in their own district, in Goliad.
In Goliad, yes.
And Goliad, on paper, they bring more back than Edna. I think they bring back 16 or 17 starters.
16 starters, yeah.
They beat Edna pretty good in the regular season last year. Goliad is going to be a really interesting team to watch.
They are going to be – they're probably the – those 2 teams out of District 15 are probably the 1-2 in some sort of order.
Mm-hmm.
Jordanton is interesting.
Bring a ton back.
They bring back a whole lot from last year's ball club. Universal City Randolph.
The Rohawks.
You want to hop in on the Rohawks bandwagon? You were an early adopter.
I saw Randolph and San Antonio Cole should be pretty solid as well. The two military schools in San Antonio, if you want to get behind the troops.
You want to support the troops?
Yeah.
Where are you on Orange Grove? They are the team dropping down from 4A.
New coach.
381. New coach.
Jared Johnston comes home from Schertz Clemens.
A 7-5 team from a year ago.
Solid.
You know, Are they right outside that contender zone for you?
The problem for Orange Grove is their district. They're probably playing for third behind Goliad and Edna. They should get out of that. I mean, I think the first round matchup bodes well for them. You get out of the first round, you know, kind of see how the matchups go. I think they're a contender. I think there's a gap between – I think the top four teams in the region are Randolph, Jordanton, Goliad, and Edna. I think Orange Grove is in that next tier of teams. If you really want to, like, dream on a team, like Lytle – they were kind of the surprise team last year. They bring back, I think, 19 starters. They bring a ton back. The problem is they're probably a couple steps behind Jordanton and Hondo there in 14-3A Division I.
Do we want to talk about Llano?
I think Llano
more
got...
More like Lamo?
Yeah, right, Pickle? Come on.
Count it.
She's in Italy. She doesn't care. Have you seen her tweets, by the
her
way?
Her Instagram has been obnoxious.
I don't have Instagram, so I have Twitter, but I'm old.
Brutal. Her and Mallory.
Oh, God.
Golly. Anyway, Matt Stepp.
Doing
3A Division One.
I think Lano's going to be very good. I think they're
solid.
If they can stay healthy, they'll be back in the playoffs and a contender to play Thanksgiving weekend.
Your regional picks and your state championship pick.
In Region One, I'm going to go Sweetwater over Bushland.
Ooh.
In Region Two. Live coverage of me looking that up now because I have Malakoff winning Region 2, by the way.
Okay.
Just a real shocker there. I have Malakoff beating in the regional final Atlanta. I have Malakoff over Atlanta. In Region 3, I got burned by Columbus last year. I took Columbus over Franklin. Franklin Nation got all over me about it.
They did. I would never.
Yes. So I'm going Franklin over Palestine Westwood.
Oh.
That's a little bit of a hipster pick there. And then in Region 4, I'm going to go Goliad over Edna.
Okay.
And then we'll do state championship afterwards.
I like some of that. I'm going to go with Bushland in Region 1. I think this is their year. I think finally Brock is gone and they can breathe.
You got Bushland over Sweetwater? You got Sweetwater playing them?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Region 2, I'm going Malakoff. Ain't broke, don't fix. Mm-hmm. They looked like they were the best team in 3A Division 1 last year. I think they're going to roll with it. Region 3 is really tough. I think I like Columbus.
Okay.
I think I like Columbus.
This is the year. Okay.
But like picking against Franklin always gives me hives.
I know. I learned the hard way last year. I had Malakoff Columbus in the state championship last year, and one of those teams made me look smart.
I'm going to go with Columbus, and the Franklin people are going to get on to me. I'm going to go with Columbus. Franklin, I'm sorry. I think it's pretty close.
Direct your questions. Direct your angst at Greg Tepper.
At Tepper. And then Region 4... I'm very intrigued to get, like, real weird here. I think if there's going to be, like, a weirdo region, this might be
it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm going to go with Goliad. I think Goliad gets them and makes it to a regional, a state semifinal. And in the title game, I am going to go with, in what would be a wildly entertaining title game, I'm going to go with Malakoff over Columbus.
Malakoff Columbus is the game I want to see.
Yes.
I want to see. I'm going to go Malakoff over Franklin, though.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the sure thing, and I think Franklin, until they prove me otherwise, I got to at least take Franklin to get to the state championship.
True enough. That would be a lot of fun. Okay. That's your 3A preview, heathens.
Yeah.
That's it. We did.
Sickos.
We recorded for 52 minutes.
Yeah. Not bad.
It'll be a little bit longer than that. We are going to now work on the 4A preview. I got to get in the lab and figure out what I think about 4A.
Yeah. We'll record that next week.
Yeah. It'll be great. But until then, you sickos. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Thanks to VNA Moreno for being our producer.
Thanks, VNA.
And Stepp, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next time for the 4A preview on Tepp and Stepp.